Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with & Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
We are exactly at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, as we do each and every Wednesday. Delighted to welcome the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services in for the Wealthwise moment. It's Laureen Gilbert. Hey, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Well, can I start with this? So off air, Laureen and I always have a chance to chat for a couple of minutes. And I've discovered, she starts her day the same way all the time with a delicious matcha tea latte thing. Can you describe that for me?
Well, I make my own homemade almond milk, and I get the ceremonial matcha green tea from the farmer's market right in Laguna Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the way I start my day. And I put honey that I also get from the Laguna Beach Farmers Market.
You are such a supporter of local things, but
gotta love it.
The thing that caught my ear this morning is you also make your homemade delicious biscotti to go with it. Is that correct?
I do. And you know, I love making it. Not only do I love making it, of course, I love eating it. And we just had our national conference last month in July.
Right.
And that was in Denver. And one of the sessions that I went to, it was actually one of our keynote speakers that spoke to everybody. And then you have these breakout sessions where you talk about specific investment themes. But one of the keynotes was talking about ritual and how rituals are important in our lives. And not to minimize the idea of rituals, it gives us comfort. And, you know, when you think about rituals, families have family traditions. Those are rituals, right?
Yes.
And this ritual for me gives me comfort.
Okay.
Having my matcha green tea and the biscotti, it's like there's just something comforting about that ritual.
Yeah. You know what would be comforting for me is if you dropped off some of that biscotti every once in a while here at the radio station.
I will have to do that for you. Absolutely. I'll bring you a special bat.
Thank you. We got to make that a ritual. You know, I could get comfortable with that really fast, I think.
Uh-huh,
it sounds like a perfect morning. And again, thank you for joining us. So right after you and I spoke last week in a really blunt speech on Friday, the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned that the central bank's battle against inflation isn't going to come without some casualties. And the chair used the term bring some pain to households and businesses. Please, if you would, describe for us what that pain is and how we're going to see it manifest itself.
Sure. So to back it up and explain what was going on here, the Federal Reserve each year has an economic symposium that's hosted by the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, and it takes place in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And what's interesting about the Kansas City Fed is their offices are actually in Denver, Oklahoma City, and Omaha, Nebraska. So go figure.
Right.
And they were meeting in Jackson Hole. But the Federal Reserve has two tools. They have what they do in monetary policy, and they have what they say. And oftentimes what they say, Ed, is as important or sometimes more important than what they actually do. And this is the case of this last Friday. The statement that Powell made was a 10-minute succinct statement. And in those 10 minutes, if you read the transcript, he said a lot. To your point, he said there's going to be pain to both households and businesses. And in addition to that, in that short little speech, he was reminiscent of Paul Volcker, who was the Federal Reserve chair back in 79 when we had double-digit inflation. And when Volcker came in to be the chair, he came into a terrible situation. He came into already that double-digit high inflation, and he brought it down. So in that speech that was made by Powell, he referenced Volcker twice, and he also said, we are going to keep at it. Paul Volcker's book was titled Keeping at It.
Okay.
So make no mistake, he was saying, I am Paul Volcker 2.0, and it is going to be painful. And so what happened there was that Volcker had to raise rates substantially in order to get inflation under control. The other thing that was interesting about that short statement that Powell made is that he actually said, we are moving our policy stance. In other words, they're changing. And that change was also that basically where the markets were thinking that he's probably going to do the 50 basis point.
Right.
Well, now likelihood of 75 basis point in the September meeting is very likely.
Right.
Also moving their target to 2%, whereas the market was pretty much thinking, hey, if we can get back to 2.5% inflation, that'd be great. You know, that'd be a good thing. He made it clear they are going to be diligent to getting back to 2. So it was, the markets took it hard. And why did the markets take it hard? We've talked about this before, but equity prices have to reprice based on higher interest rates and future cash flows. So that's what caused this reaction in the markets. And now the markets are anticipating, more like I said, that 75 basis point increase.
So as the interest rates go up, what we're really looking for is putting people out of work, shutting down businesses, right? Because they can't borrow anymore.
Well, what they're trying to kill is demand being as strong as it is. Demand is too strong. So by raising rates, what happens when you raise rates, you're going to have fewer people buying cars, new cars, fewer people out buying homes, businesses, not leveraging on their debt in order to grow, and not hiring as much.
Okay.
Or in fact, laying people off.
Okay.
So he's calling for an economic slowdown. The other thing that the market was pricing in is what he's saying makes it much more difficult to accomplish what we call a soft landing. Soft landing is we're able to raise rates, slow down the economy, and not go into recession. Now, we still hold that it's not going to be 2022, but the likelihood of a recession 2023 is becoming more and more likely given the strong force of the Fed. Now, some good news. Let me give you some good news, because so far I'm giving you
back. No. Please.
The good news is that other countries started raising rates before the United States did. And if we look at other countries around the globe, many of them have been able to do the interest rate increases without killing off the economy, and the economies are still growing. So there's still the possibility and the hope that we will be able to do it. We just, from an investment standpoint, need to be mindful and keep this in mind. We may be able to avoid a recession. We may not be. And we have to keep that in mind.
And let me drag us back into the bad news here, because as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, and tell me if I'm wrong, assuming that there's no change in the labor force participation rate, and we figure that 1%, that every 1 percentage point increases the unemployment rate, and that translates to about 1.5 million jobs lost, that if the United States suffers a typical recession where joblessness hovers at around 6%, that'd be about 5 million jobs. Is my math wrong there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be, but I'll tell you, I don't think we're going to get to 6%.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't think we're going to get to 6%.
What?
But he also made clear, let me just point out that another point that he made, which was because the labor force is as strong as it is, he's not focused on it. Whereas right. you might remember early on in the pandemic, everything the Fed was talking about was unemployment.
Right.
Yes. That has completely shifted to everything they're talking about is inflation.
Right. Okay.
So a lot of changes in that statement that he made, short and sweet. So here's what's funny. We're in the dog days of summer, right?
Right.
It was August. August typically for the market is the dog days of summer. Why? Wall Street is in the Hamptons. They're not sitting around in New York City. They're off at the Hamptons. And the Federal Reserve is often, you know, Jackson Hole. Typically, the stock market is not trading, you know, all that much. In other words, volume tends to go down on trading in the month of August. But typically in the month of August, over the last 10 years, we've had a return of about 1.2%. But this August was different in that we'd hit some great rebounding in July. And then we retraced some of that in August.
Thank you. Thank you for simplifying that. That you made it really kitchen table for us there. And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
And you spoke of inflation, and we know that soaring inflation has made everything we know more expensive, including now the cost of raising a child. It now costs $310,605 for a married middle-income couple with two kids to raise that youngest child from birth through high school. So I think the question is really what you do personally or business-wise. When a new family walks in through your doors, and let's say that the family walks in, they're about to have a child. Walk us through what you do with them, where you direct their investments for the next however many years.
Sure. So first of all, Ed, that number used to be, to raise a child, used to be 200,000. It wasn't that long ago when it's 200. So it has gone up significantly. Of course, as costs have gone up for families to raise children. And so with that, to your point, when a family comes in, they're still in that phase where they're having children and raising children. It's tough for them because they have a lot of competing goals all at one time. So those competing goals are usually by then, many times people own a home, but if they don't, they're looking to buy their first home. And then once they bought their first home, what oftentimes happens is they're a growing family as they're having children, and they need a bigger home in order to raise that family. So those are some of the first things that we're looking at. And then at the same time, they're trying to save money for college education to put their kids through college. And at the same time, they're trying to put money in for their own retirement. And so for me, my job is to try to talk to them about how to balance that out and not forget about their own retirement while they're trying to do all these other things, because you don't want to get to the point where your kids are finally in college or out of college, and then you're starting to put money away for retirement. That's too late. You know, you got to start a lot earlier, or you're going to be working a lot longer. So the message really to families is, let's apportion the money that you have, the discretionary income, disposable income, the extra income, and let's figure out how we're going to divide it between your own retirement, college education, and some of these other goals as far as maybe buying the next house.
Right. As I mentioned to you last week, and I'll tell you this forever, it's like it's the difference between a regular surgeon and having a great surgeon. Thank you for that. Great financial advice there.
Sure.
And we're seeing now families, and I'm going to take a right turn here. We're seeing families now in Mississippi struggling just for water, just for a flushable toilet or drinking water, whatever. There are mile long lines to get drinking. Let's talk water for a second.
Yeah, it's tragic what's happening in Mississippi, and we know that that they've declared a water emergency there in Jackson, Mississippi, and you know this is part of our infrastructure that we oftentimes take for granted, having fresh water. However, water is becoming very scarce, and it's something that not only do I see as a growing infrastructure issue in the United States and the rest of the globe, but it's also an investable idea as well. Because, as you know, when it comes to resources, everything's about supply and demand. Right. And you can see that with oil, right? Whenever there's the threat of not having enough supply of oil, the price of oil goes up. And once again, we've taken water for granted.
Right.
But the same will be true of water if there's not enough supply. And there's not. And so so that is just an investable idea and something that we do as a portion of our portfolios is looking at themes like water and how can we invest in it.
That is so smart. So, because I mentioned to someone else about a month ago, I think water eventually, when I was, we talked about Lake Mead drying up, we talked about the Colorado River system drying up, mm-hmm. that eventually I think water will be the new gold. I really do.
I certainly think, I don't think of it in terms of the new gold. That's interesting. But I would say it is going to be a scarcer resources. And we need to pay attention to that.
Right. I believe it's finite. And I love this conversation. And I can't thank you enough for having it with me. How do our listeners find you?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
All right. And what does the rest of your week look like? What are you looking forward to in the next couple of days? And are you gonna spend the holiday weekend here in town? What are you going to do?
Spending the holiday weekend in town, and I've got two parties to go to, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then after that, Ed, I will be in Boston at a conference. And in fact, when I speak to you next, I'll be talking to you from Boston.
All right. I'll look forward to it. Laureen, thank you so very much for being here again in the conversation this morning. Always great to have you.
Thanks, Ed. Have a good holiday weekend.
Thank you. You as well. And don't forget me on the biscotti next time.
Okay.
All right. 8:18 the time. Thank you. That was Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial Services. It's 8:18 on the Mornings with Ed show.